Sometimes I don't know how to answer questions about Christianity. Sometimes I get asked questions that I wonder myself. I know I don't have all the answers, and I trust the Bible to guide me. But for someone who doesn't believe in the Bible, where do I even start?
Searching for God is a study package you can do alone or with a group. It'll walk you through some of the challenges you're facing from friends or family who don't understand your faith. Searching for God, available at zondervan.com.
That's what Jesus did. Even while we were sinners, he loved us. He loved us first. And so it's not biblical to spew hate because someone's not following the Bible's prescription for how to live because they don't believe in the Bible yet. So why would they? But in the context of a relationship, we can introduce the beauty of our intimacy with the Lord. And if the Holy Spirit decides to use us, it could be a witness that says, maybe I want to live that way instead.
Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. This week, we continue our series on the book of 2 Peter. You may be seeing some ways that the other books which Peter authored, the Gospel of Mark and the book of 1 Peter, have similarities. We did just study those books, so if you want to really dive in, please get to our website and grab those studies too. You might begin to see that Peter really has a voice and a personality which becomes recognizable to us. Today we're looking more closely at our call to love all and how we're transformed by Christ's love for us to love others really well. If you miss any part of this program or if you want to hear it again, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and type Peter in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on your favorite podcast service. That's studywithfriends.org.
What else did God lift out for you? Do you have more, Marilyn, that you want to share? I would love to hear your thoughts.
It'll cost you. The following verse from where I read before, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. You mentioned this in the introduction. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. I just had a flashback reading that to Paul in Galatians 5, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and there was a lot of crossover there. In Galatians, they talk about love, joy, peace, etc. And so this passage mentions love. It mentions perseverance, which in Galatians 5 talked about patience, which I think are pretty much related. Both spoke of kindness, goodness.
Self-control.
Self-control, absolutely. That's what started me on it. Self-control. And the other, faithfulness is listed in Galatians, and Peter puts some emphasis on faith, so they're sort of related too. So I thought out of the 9 in Galatians, they overlapped on 7.
That's right. Can I put you on the spot?
Uh-oh, yes.
So I made that same note, but I'd rather ask you a question. We'll be Socratic. I'd rather ask you a question than tell you my thoughts on it.
Okay.
What is Peter's message? I will say that I think it's in 1:10. And what is Paul's message? And you titled that Galatians 5 passage, what did you call it?
The fruit of the Spirit.
Okay, and then can you contrast that with what Peter follows that list with in verse 10? And tell me what you see as, do you see a nuance of difference between what these two great teachers, Peter and Paul, are saying? How they are both talking about the same list of virtues, traits to strive for. What is the difference? Do you see any difference there?
Well, in Galatians, Paul is talking about the fruit of the Spirit, that if we have the Holy Spirit, that it will be manifested in our lives by certain ways that we act. But in 2 Peter 1:10, Peter writes, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. I think that's fail. No, or fall. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You want my readers?
Yes, please. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's actually talking more about how we should live,
mm-hmm.
rather than this just being an automatic thing of the Holy Spirit being within us. This is something we need to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in Galatians, Paul was saying the same thing, that, you know, this is what we should look like mm-hmm. if we're filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, Peter's a little more pragmatic, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You hit the nail on the head. Thank you for answering the question exactly as I was hoping you would. So
it's always fun when that happens.
If I were going to paraphrase 2 Peter 1:10, I would say be diligent. Do you think that's a reasonable paraphrasing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Peter is coming at this list from that perspective. Be diligent. Work towards it. Work for it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is coming at this list from a different perspective, which says, this is for God to grow in you. This is for the Spirit to manifest in you, this list of virtues. And so can you juxtapose, or can you marry those concepts for me, either of you, where one teacher, and knowing that the Bible does not contradict itself, knowing that these two great teachers are not, and both inspired by the Holy Spirit, does not contradict itself. Why do you think one is saying be diligent and the other is saying the Spirit will manifest this for you? What how do we balance that?
Well, there's a difference between action and the heart behind the action. I think that Peter, he's not saying, you know, go through the motions. Every day you're making decisions how to act. And I think Peter is saying, make a decision, you know, be conscious in your actions. Your actions should be indicative of self-control, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is saying, it's not on you to make it genuine in your heart. It's the Holy Spirit who makes it genuine. And yes, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you do act in certain ways, but you do still have to make the decision to act that mm-hmm. way. You don't, you know, it's not like, okay, now I'm a Christian and now I have no choice but to be nice to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have the absolute choice to be a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are. Some good Christians just are jerks to people, you know, and like.
I'm a jerk sometimes.
Yeah. Like, I'm a huge jerk. Like,
not me, you jerks.
But like, even something as subtle as
that was kind of
like,
jerky thing to say.
Uh huh.
My point exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like we become Christians and then are just, you know,
perfect
sunshine and rainbows all the time. You know, like you have to make decisions to be godly, and the Holy Spirit will put that in your heart and will grow it, and will, you know, it will be genuine, but you still have to make the conscious effort.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is we have decisions to make, and God grows us into the people he wants us to be, but we have to participate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have to meet him there.
Yeah.
We have to actually do the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I don't think there's any conflict at all between what the two are saying. Paul is speaking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and Peter's saying, yeah, but you have to cultivate it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
you have to do the
we
thing.
We can quench the Holy Spirit within us. So, you know, we have to be on our guard to try to live the way God wants us to live.
Mm-hmm. It takes practice and prayer. So it takes a constant, intimate relationship with the Lord. We try to make decisions and we fall down. There are plenty of times we need God to help us make the decisions. I can tell you there are plenty of times that I have said, God, I can't be nice to this person anymore in my own flesh. I just can't. I don't like her. You know what I mean? So I don't want to make it out like we are able to even make those decisions mm-hmm. without the help of the Lord.
Right.
But if I went a layer deeper, I would say, show up so he can do the work. Show up. Mm-hmm. Do your Bible study. Do have relationships with, you know, all the things that it says, all the prescriptions in the Bible that it says, have godly fellowship. Choose your friends wisely. Don't keep the company of fools. Spend time in the word, prayer, worship. That's what I think Peter is summing up. He's saying, show up. Show up. And then Paul says, and the Spirit will do what the Spirit does, but you got to show up. And each day, as you become more and more intimate with the Lord, those decisions do become a little easier. Like I said a few minutes ago, as long as I'm showing up every day, I'm reminded of my sin, and then reminded of the grace that I'm given, and then it naturally flows out from me. The grace and the things that are listed here, they naturally flow out of me because I don't forget my own need. And so there's sort of a cyclical nature to it. And Peter's saying, show up, and Paul is saying, and God will meet you there. And Peter is saying, show up, and Paul is saying, God will meet you there. And so for me, they're very complementary. Mm-hmm. More on that?
Just that not showing up is a way of quenching the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of, yes, we need that to be able to do these things, like be faithful and good and patient and kind and have self-control. And if we try to do it on our own, because we've ignored our time with Jesus and we haven't been in worship or we haven't been reading the Bible, etc., it doesn't work.
No.
We put out that fire.
Our sin nature is really a monster. And if we're not consistently reining it in, or letting God consistently rein it in, it gets away from us, for sure. Okay, I love that. I'm just going to have a little scholarly note, since we're talking about Peter and Paul and the partnership. That was a lot of P's in one sentence. Peter and Paul and the partnership. I want to find the verse that I'm looking for.
3:16.
What is 3:16? Are you reading my mind?
Well, I think we might be on the same level here, because it struck me too.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Starting in chapter 3, verse 14, since it's the beginning of the paragraph. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the scriptures, to their own destruction.
Wait, you skipped the one word that I want you to hit. As they do the other scriptures.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, exactly. That's the point that struck me. The uh-huh. other scriptures. This is before the canonization
yep.
of scripture. And Peter has read Paul's letters, and he recognizes them as the inspired word of God.
And in this letter, he's using assumptive language that the early church also recognizes Paul's letters as scripture. Mm-hmm. I thought that was remarkable.
Yes.
Not something I had picked up. Mm-mm. Again, because we just assume. Yeah, of course. Of course Paul's letters are God-breathed. But you're right. This is before the official canon. I feel like, you know, the early church just knew what it was doing. They knew. They didn't have to have...
Yeah? Have you read Corinthians?
They didn't have to have a big meeting about, like... What's God breathed and what's not? They knew. They knew. At least Peter and Paul did. And I love that. So we have here sort of a some credibility in, you know, given yes. to Paul from the early church, and a recognition of that credibility. So I thought that was worth noting. Okay, G.
Is it my time to shine?
A little bit, because
Let's do it.
So last night She's a doodler. So last night, I was talking through with her, you know, just to getting a sneak peek at her thoughts on the
Book
of Second Peter.
being in the same house.
It is. And I just thought, and we have to be careful, and I told you I want you to be careful.
Yep.
But I thought that your interpretation of chapter 1, 3 through 7 was interesting. So would you please give your, I don't even want to say interpretation. I would like to say your reflection on chapter 1, verses 3 through 7.
Gladly. Here we go, ladies. So I'm in the habit of when I don't understand a big block of text, I write it out in different words. The English language is wonderful, which is why I'm majoring in it. There's 100 words to say the exact same thing. So I write it in different words to make it easier for myself to understand. And as I was writing, I realized what I was writing. I was like, oh, hey, that looks like something that I know. So five through seven. It's just for a recap. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So that is that builds on itself. In order to get one, because the next one you have to have the first one. So I started in that sort of structure. And I ended with saying, like, you know, transcribing it for myself, I was writing, you know, you have your faith. And then to your faith, add actions, behaviors. That's the goodness. You know, do the right thing. You know, that's very vague, but that's just, you know, generally speaking. And then and then in doing the right thing, so you know what you believe. That's the knowledge aspect. Is it Paul who says be prepared
to give an account?
Yeah, just know, you
it's
know,
actually
like
First Peter.
Is it First Peter? Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah. We just studied that together, you and I.
So you know what you believe. And then from knowing what you believe, you should also know what not to say. That's the self-control. And then in knowing what not to say, know how to handle not saying it in the right way. Know how to handle not saying it. That's the perseverance. And then the right way is the godliness. Don't, in sociology, it's called going native in a study, when you go so deep in trying to conform that you lose what you started it with. You know, when you're holding your tongue, don't lose God. Persevere, hold your tongue in the correct way. And then know how to be a friend while holding your tongue, which is the, you know, brotherly kindness. And then I loved that he made a distinction between brotherly kindness and love, because you can be polite, but he calls us to love. Be genuine in your friendship and your kindness, you know. So all of this. And then he goes on, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, if he says, if you do this, you won't be ineffective and unproductive, that implies that if you don't do this, you will be ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know how to interact with other people, non-believers, then what is, you know, what's the point of your faith? Like, okay, great, you're saved. Now what about everyone else on the earth? Mm-hmm. Like, don't be ineffective. So that's what.
So what you're saying is you could be ineffective, flip it all on its head. You will be ineffective if you lack self-control. Say it.
You will be ineffective if you don't know what you believe, if you don't know what not to say, if you don't know how to handle not saying it in the right way, if you don't know how to be a friend while handling it, and you don't know how to be genuine, you will be ineffective.
Right. So a little bit, this goes back to what we were talking about before, when people use the Bible as a weapon.
Great lead-in, because in my life, you know, I'm 18. I've got a wonderfully diverse group of friends. And in my life, this looks like my interactions with all of my close friends who identify as a member of the LGBT community. I know what I believe. I know what the Bible says. I know what not to say. I know that when we are hanging out and a friend of mine is talking about a date they went on, it is not my time or place to be like, well, you know that the Bible actually says that's a sin. It's just not. I know when to hold my tongue. I'm not like putting myself up as an example. Everyone act like me. But I'm just saying that this was interesting that I saw that this is how, you know, Second Peter, he writes it. It's not, you know, me being like, it's not me. It's I had to ask my mom how to spell exegetical and eisegetical. Because it's not exegetical. Or it is exegetical. I'm, you know, pulling this from the Bible. I'm not saying, okay, so this is how I want to act. Let me find scripture to back that up so that I can defend myself. This is what he says to do. This is a God-breathed scripture. This is what God tells you to do in interactions, not just with people in the LGBT community, but just non-believers, people of other faiths. You know, like, this is a universal thing. That's just how it manifests in my life. You don't want to be ineffective, because God calls us as Christians to evangelize to as many people as possible. But evangelizing does not always look like shoving pamphlets in people's faces. You know, it doesn't look like going out on the street and preaching. It looks like knowledge,
being in relationship,
knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. That's mm-hmm. what he says. Mm-hmm. So that was just, I loved that. And then he goes on in verse 12. He doesn't say that this is easy. He says that it's difficult. And he's saying, I'm writing because you'll probably forget. It's difficult to know, to trust God's timing when it comes to what to say when. You know, if you have a friend who's being very self-destructive, it's difficult to trust God to handle the situation. It's difficult not to jump in, you know? And it's tough, but if you jump in too soon, you're going to be ineffective and unproductive.
Or worse.
Detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've seen firsthand.
Me too.
It's terrible.
Me too.
It is really terrible, because then going back to members of the LGBT community, I have seen firsthand people that I've thought of as friends entirely. The church turned their back on them, so they turned their back on the church.
Some
in the church.
You never did.
No.
And you are the church.
That's, you know, the ineffective mm-hmm. and unproductive part of the church.
Well, the sad part is it's always shocking to your friends mm-hmm. that you want to persist in loving them no matter what they reveal about themselves. And that shouldn't be shocking. Because that's what Jesus did. Even while we were sinners, he loved us. He loved us first.
He said he came for the sinners.
And so it's not biblical to spew hate because someone's not following the Bible's prescription for how to live mm-hmm. because they don't believe in the Bible yet. So why would they?
Yeah.
But in the context of a relationship, we can introduce the beauty of our intimacy with the Lord. And if the Holy Spirit decides to use us, it could be a witness that says, maybe I want to live that way instead.
Hey, it's Holly again. I wish that I had time here to tell you what a blessing it is to see God work in an area that can sometimes be so stressful, our finances. I would tell you how God, again and again, has used people like you to show us his will for this ministry. Well, what I can do here is ask you to prayerfully consider a financial partnership with us here at Study with Friends. And I can do that with enthusiasm, because I know that when we prayerfully consider what God wants us to do with our finances, it creates a deep intimacy with him around something we're often so anxious about, and he honors that. Now, by the way, that means you can experience it by giving to the local church, to other Christian ministries, whatever God calls you to give to. I do hope that we might be included on that list, but I'm excited for you to enter into that partnership with God on your finances, no matter where it leads. You may also know that we recently started talking about a little book called Searching for God, which was published by Zondervan and is available on their website or ours. It's a great resource for equipping yourself in the way that 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us, where Scripture says, "Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Searching for God is for individual or group study, and it will walk you through some of the challenges that you're facing from the culture and maybe even some friends or family who don't understand your faith. It'll give you the confidence you need to have those conversations in an informed but loving way. You can get this book, Searching for God, on our website, studywithfriends.org, and that supports our ministry too, so that's a win-win. I hope you take a moment to visit our website. You'll find a lot of free resources there as well. That's studywithfriends.org. See you next time we study with friends.
Sometimes I don't know how to answer questions about Christianity. Sometimes I get asked questions that I wonder myself. I know I don't have all the answers, and I trust the Bible to guide me. But for someone who doesn't believe in the Bible, where do I even start?
Searching for God is a study package you can do alone or with a group. It'll walk you through some of the challenges you're facing from friends or family who don't understand your faith. Searching for God. Available at zondervan.com.